you're going to speak to us that we are sent people this morning. You haven't called us just to come into this church, but you've called us to come to you and then to be sent. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll begin to give us a clear insight, a clear sight, Lord, a revelation of who, not just who you are, Lord, but who we are, and about the things you've called us to do. And we pray this, Father, because of a harvest of people wanting to come to know you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, See, Speak, Sent. See, Speak, and Sent. And what I'm talking to you about this morning has worked in my own life. I practice what I preach, hopefully. I've seen it work, and I want to encourage you this morning. Just turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. We're going to start reading at verse 35. Had a great time. Thank you for your prayers for last week. This time last week we were in Poland. We had an awesome time out there at the church in Wrocław, which is a big old German city, actually. And there's about 800,000 people live in the city. And we have a connection with a church which is going through quite a renewing process. And it was just great to spend time with them over the weekend and encourage them. Now, Matthew 9, are we there? Are you all there? You know, just lift up your Bible. If you've got a Bible, just lift it up this morning. Just hold it in your hand. This is the most mighty weapon in the whole of the universe. This Bible is the Word of God. It's inspired, it's breathed upon by God, and the Holy Spirit makes it alive to us. So you have in your hand this morning the most effective weapon. It's stronger than any nuclear weapon. It's the greatest weapon that a man could have. Amen. And you've got it in your hands this morning. So treat it carefully. Yeah. All right, treat it carefully. And use it to the max. Because God wants to use what's written in the Bible and download it inside of here so that we then begin to live it out. It's no good having a weapon if you don't use it. And the reason we have the weapon of the Bible, God's Word, God's inspired writings, the truth that's in there, is so that we will read it, believe it, let God show us what's in there, and so that we can make it into dynamite in our own lives and begin to release that into our lives to make it real. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 35, it says, Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes of people, he was moved with what?
Compassion.
He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Have you ever perhaps walked through the middle of Crawley Town Centre or been in the Mall? Or perhaps been up in London or another town, another city, and you just observe people. I like watching people. I like just looking at people. I mean, it's Claire and I, sometimes if we go out for a coffee, we enjoy watching people. Because people, every person's different. Their characteristics come out in the way that they walk, the way they talk. People are so funny. We're one of those people, aren't we? And so strange sometimes. And it's quite entertaining just watching people. And you know, God loves every single person because every person is unique. And Jesus had this amazing love for people, God's love. And you know, every one of you this morning, this hall is loved by God. Whether you feel it, whether you know it or not, God loves you as a person. God has a plan for you. God wants you to know Jesus Christ personally in your life, that he died on the cross for you. And he rose again from the dead. And he's ruling in heaven. And he wants his life to be in your life. But you've got to believe upon him and let him come. And that's what being a Christian is all about. And Jesus, wherever he went, he preached good news. He demonstrated the good news by the stuff that came out of his life. You know, power, love, miracles, healing, all kinds of things happened whenever Jesus turned up. And that's what's supposed to happen with you. And me.
Amen.
That wherever we go, things are supposed to happen. Things are supposed to happen because you turned up.
Yes.
Miracles are supposed to take place because you're in that place of work. You're in that town. You're in that village. You went through that place. Things are supposed to happen. God wants to use every one of us every day.
Sorry. It's true. Amen.
Every single one of us. God wants us to be actively involved in his kingdom, and he wants to release his life out of us. By the way, it's great to see Rachel with us this morning. Welcome back, Rachel. How's it going in Maidstone? It's great to see you and have you back here for today. Now, God is encouraging us this morning. Jesus moved around with great compassion for people, and he demonstrated it. He saw people that were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is what?
Plentiful.
What does that mean?
Loaded.
Loads. Loads of harvest. So he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And then he gave these instructions. He said, therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers, workers, harvesters, reapers, send out labourers into his harvest. That's us. So we need to be praying, God, send me, send others, send people out into your harvest field. Where's the harvest field? It's next door to you. It may be even in your own family. It's in your town. It's in this whole region. This is our harvest field. For us as Kingdom Faith, we have a 25-mile radius that we regularly pray for. And so that's part of our harvest field. We have a harvest field in this church of Crawley. That's people that live in this place. We want them to know about Jesus so that we can harvest them into God's kingdom, so that we introduce them to who Jesus Christ really is, so that they can enjoy his powerful life and forgiveness, and they can have eternal life living in them. Isn't that right? Amen. And this is why we're here. And just turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 34. Verse 34 of John's Gospel, chapter 4. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your what?
Eyes.
Just turn to someone and say your eyes. Go on, turn to them and say, your eyes. Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. What's he talking about? He's talking about the need for us to see what God sees. And I'm talking this morning that God wants us to see things that he sees. And Jesus was saying, lift up your eyes and look. There was possibly a great field right in front of them, but he wasn't talking about the natural harvest, he's talking about a spiritual harvest. He said, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not laboured. Others have laboured, and you have entered into their labours. Listen, I've got some great encouragement for you this morning. Is God wants every one of us to reap a harvest. Some of you actually believe it. But God wants you to reap a harvest. He actually wants you to lead people to Jesus. In other words, introduce them to who he is in your own life. Talk about what he's done for you. Talk about what you've experienced with him. Talk about why he died on the cross and rose again. Just explain it in simple terms and lead people to Jesus. Begin to pray with a faith that God's going to use me to win people to Christ. Amen? That's the harvest. And God wants us to be enthused about the fact that he wants us as a church to be used to win people, young people, adults and older people too, to come to know Jesus personally. And if we have a faith and expectancy that God will place in our hearts, because that's what he wants to do, then I guarantee that we will see a harvest start coming in far greater than what we have seen so far. And over these next 6 months, we were saying as a church that we want to believe God that he will, that every one of us will be able to lead one person to Christ over the next 6 months. That each one of us will have the joy and the privilege to introduce someone to Jesus, to be involved in bringing someone to Jesus over these next 6 months.
Amen.
That means that we will, and it's not, I'm not thinking just in terms of numbers, but it will mean that we will grow. We'll grow bigger. But if you have a faith, an expectancy, if you begin to see God wants to use you, God wants to use me to win somebody else for Jesus, and you begin to get up in the morning and praying that way and thinking that way and seeing that way, then something is going to change. And what will happen is God will start opening up opportunities that you'll begin to see, well, this is an opportunity God has given to me with this person, not just to talk about the weather with them, but after talking about the weather, we can then talk about the one who made the weather. Okay? Or if someone talks to you about money, you can talk about money, and then you can talk about God who actually has a plan for our money and how God has provided money for us. So you can turn anything around to talk about Jesus if you just let the Spirit help you to do it. And God wants to help us today to see. Okay?
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Say hallelujah.
Yeah, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants to help us to really see what he sees. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13 and verse 14. And I'm going to talk about Abraham just for a few minutes. Abraham is a great story in about faith. Abraham and Sarah. And in chapter 13 verse 14, the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, Lot was his nephew, lift your eyes now and look. Here we are. This is in the Old Testament. Lift your eyes and look. So God's saying something to us this morning. He's saying, lift your eyes up and look in the spirit. Look in the spiritual realm and see. And Abraham, God says to Abraham, lift your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. God is making Abraham a promise. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise and walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. What was God doing? God was giving Abraham a promise. Now, I haven't actually been exactly where Abraham was when God made this promise, but someone told me once, he said, I've been there. And what Abraham saw, he couldn't have seen it all where he stood. So he was using the eyes of faith. He saw physically a land ahead of him, but he couldn't see it all. But yet in the spirit, Abraham saw a land that was far beyond what he could see with his natural eye. And God was saying, I'm giving you this land. This land is going to be yours. And by the way, you're going to have many descendants from yourself. Now, Abraham was... what was he, 199? I always get the two muddled up. He was 100. And Sarah, his wife, was 99, I think, wasn't she? And so they were beyond childbearing years. I don't know if you know anyone that's had a child at 99. I personally haven't. But here's a miracle coming up. A miracle was that God promised them, you're going to have a child, as an old couple, you're going to have a child, and this child... it's going to be a miracle baby, even a greater miracle than Paul and Lorna have had. And they've had a miracle baby, and what a great answer to prayer.
Amen.
Many years of prayer. They've had a miracle. And Abraham and Sarah had a miracle, and God said, from your loins, from your lives, together, you're going to produce a child, and this child of promise, which was Isaac, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed because of him. And your descendants are going to be more than the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. And there's another scripture that where God takes Abraham for a walk and he says, look up in the sky and says, see if you can number the stars. And Abraham loses count after about 1,000. And God says to him, so will your descendants be. And he says, look at the sand on beneath your feet. See if you can count the grains of sand. Abraham couldn't even begin. And he says, that's what your descendants are going to be like. And it says, Abraham believed God for his promises. What are we talking about? Abraham saw something. Abraham met with God. God met with him. And in his meeting with God, God actually showed him things that he couldn't see otherwise. God revealed things to him. And as he began to see in the spiritual realm things that was going to happen, Abraham's faith said, yes, it's mine. That's how we need to be. When you hear a word, like if I'm preaching here on a Sunday or whoever speak, take hold of the word, take it, make it yours and say, yes, that's mine. Respond, be a responder.
Amen.
That's why it's important to respond. Not for me to hear you say yes or I agree or I disagree with you. But actually, your response is really important because what you're doing is you're activating your faith. So instead of saying yes in your thoughts, say yes out loud. I agree with you.
Amen.
This is good.
Amen.
I'm going for it. And, you know, we need to be responders. That faith always responds. And Abraham said, I believe you for this. And so what happened was God met with Abraham, and Abraham believed God in the things that God showed him about this land he was going to have, about a son that was going to be born. It was real faith. And Abraham got his promise. But he got there, and I want to just share this with you because it's very important for where we're going. Abraham, God changed his name from Abraham to Abraham. And the name Abraham means father of many. I can't remember what Abraham means. That's a bit careless of me, really. But anyway, it doesn't mean that. But Abraham means father of many. And he changed Sarah, that's his wife. Sarai was her name, and he changed it to Sarah. And Sarah means princess or mother of princes. That's what her name means. So here's Abraham waking up in the morning, and he calls over to his wife, mother of princes. And she calls back to him, hello, darling, father of many. And so they were actually in their talking, they were actually calling, they were prophetically speaking what they'd already seen. Abraham believed God, and God even helped them by changing their name so that what they would speak, they'd be speaking out those things that God had said. And when God showed Abraham the stars, he said, that's how many descendants you're going to have. Abraham saw something, and when God spoke to him, he said, right, that's mine. And so Abraham and Sarah were constantly speaking about the things that God was going to give to them. They believed the promises of God.
Amen.
Now, God has said to us in this church, you're going to be a church of thousands.
Amen.
In this church here in Crawley, this church has been called to be a church of thousands. Now, we need to see it. God speaks a word and then begins to show you, or shows you and speaks a word, however he does it. But basically, we need to see those things that God says. And as you see it, and as you speak it, you'll live in the good of it. Abraham spoke about his son. Sarah spoke about her son. They spoke even in their calling of their names. They were speaking about their many descendants. They talked about the land that God was going to give them. They weren't even anywhere near taking hold of the land, but they had in their hearts. Are you with me? We need to see what God sees. God wants us to meet with him. And this is why it's important to spend time in prayer and open up your Bible and just start reading it and let God speak to you, because he wants to fill you with revelation about how he wants to use you in your life, how he wants to use you in this church, how he wants to use us as a church being effective in Crawley. So like next Saturday when we're in the town centre, we're not actually doing something from the bandstand, we're just meeting at the bandstand. But what next Saturday is all about is helping to train some of you to learn how to talk to people on a one-to-one. And we'll be witnessing to people in the town centre, just loving them and talking to them about Jesus. And we want to help to train up some people who'd like to do that, who'd like to know more about doing that. And when we meet up next Saturday at 10:30 next to the bandstand, that's what we'll be doing. We'll talk, we'll pray, we'll train up together for a while, and then we'll go into the town in pairs, and we'll help you to put into practice, you know, reaching people. But before we get to next Saturday, I will have prayed, I'm sure some of you will as well, Lord, show me what you want to do today. Help me to see what it is that you want to accomplish next Saturday. And when God shows you something, once you've seen it, that's it. Then you start confessing the truth of it. And then you can start living in the good of it. This is what happened to Abraham. Think about, just a minute, about Moses. Moses met with God in a burning bush. That's an unusual way to meet with God. I've not met God in a burning bush with fire, but, you know, God met with Moses in a burning bush and spoke to him out of this bush. This bush spoke to him. It was God in the bush. But out of this, as when God spoke to me, he said, I'm going to use you, Moses, and you're going to be a deliverer to my people Israel. And began to talk to Moses about, I'm going to raise you up as a leader. You're going to deliver my people out of Egypt, out of Pharaoh's stronghold over the people. And you're going to enter into a promised land. Moses believed God. Moses saw it. Moses spoke about it. And Moses became a great deliverer. Okay? Think about Gideon. We've been hearing a little bit about Gideon in different places recently. Judges chapter 6 and 7, don't have to go there, but God basically spoke to this young man, and he was a young man. He was the youngest in his family. He was of the weakest tribe. He was, if you like, the weakest link as far as everyone else was concerned. But Gideon, God chose him and spoke to him. He met him in a wine press. And when God met with him, he said, "You are a mighty man of valor, mighty man of strength." And Gideon thought God had got the wrong person, looked over his shoulder and thought, "Me?" Anyone felt like that? "Who, me, Lord?" But God is calling us to be mighty men and women for him. And there's a specific call that God's called us with to reach people for Christ. And when God called Gideon, he called him a mighty man of valor, and then began to talk to him, he began to see things about what God was going to do. And so that Gideon saw it, and then he began to speak about it. And then Gideon became the leader of 300 valiant men that won a great victory against the enemy, the Midianites. And God wants us to have victory too.
Amen.
So we need to, all of these men and people that we're talking about, they all met with God in a particular way, and God began to show them things. What about Joshua? If you read in the book of Joshua, chapter 1 to 6, you read about Joshua's life, and Joshua had a meeting with God. If you read about in chapter 6, he's called the commander of the Lord of hosts. Some people say that was Jesus, actually, before he became a man. It was, you know, the commander of the Lord of hosts. That's another title for Jesus, actually, before he came to the earth. And when Joshua met him, this commander of the Lord of hosts, the Lord, spoke to him and said, "I'm not for you, I'm not against you either, I'm the Lord, I'm above all of you." And then he gave Joshua some instructions about how to have victory in the promised land and how to possess Jericho. That was their first city that they had to go and raid and take possession of to take out the enemy and to begin to possess the city of Jericho. And so God spoke to Joshua. Joshua saw what God wanted to do. He heard what God said. He believed it and he began to speak it. And then he became a great leader that led the people to possess Jericho, followed his instructions. And all these people that I'm talking about this morning, God first of all met with them where they are, revealed himself to them, and then gave them a word, gave them a vision, a dream, a scripture, gave them something that spoke to them his word so they could begin to see in a new way. And as they saw what God saw, they began to speak it out.
Amen.
This is very, very important. What you see, you have to start speaking out. It will never happen until you not just see it, but you speak it. You actually declare the things of God, the things that he's going to do. So if I'm believing, if God's shown me there's going to be three people saved this week, first of all, he'll show me that. I'll have faith for that, and I'll start speaking it out. This week, I'm going to see three people get saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God, for those three people, and I'm praying for them. And then one by one, they'll get saved. Now, God wants to speak to us in these terms. He wants to show us what we are to do as a church. We already have some vision, and there's a whole session that we need to have where we talk about the vision of this church, why we're here, what we're to do, the specific things God's given us to do, that he's putting into our hands. But it starts with us, each one of us, meeting with Jesus ourselves and letting him begin to speak to us and give us a fresh vision of himself and hear and begin to see what it is that he wants to do. When you see something from God, everything changes.
Yep.
You can be going through a right old battle. You can be going through a right problem. But once you've seen something from God, you see the victory.
Amen.
And you'll see your way through.
Yes, that's right.
You begin to speak God's word. You begin to declare what God says over this sickness or this difficulty, this challenge. That's right there in front of you. And God will begin to defeat your Jericho, your city, the thing that's in front of you. But it comes because we see what God sees and we speak what God says. Are you getting the message?
Yes.
Very, very important. If we're going to be fruitful, we have to see just as God sees. Now, I know in the church here that there are quite a lot of you begin to talk to me and other leaders in the church and begin to say, you know, I really feel called to begin to do something in this area. I really feel God's calling me to serve him in this particular way. I really feel called to be part of an intercessory, a prayer group, or I really feel called to really win people for Jesus. And that's God showing you stuff. That's God revealing things to you to help you to be sharper in the things that God's called you to do in this church. And as we begin to spell out more clearly the vision of the church, the things that we're to do, you'll find that all of these different things that God's speaking to people will begin to come together so that together we'll win the victory. We'll have victory. Together we'll see God's kingdom established in children's lives, young people's lives, in families, in older people too. We'll see God moving and establish things that we need to see. Let's go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. There we have the Apostle Paul there. He was a man on a mission, preaching the gospel, seeing incredible miracles happen, starting churches, you know, starting groups of Christians meeting together in different places, establishing God's kingdom. And in chapter 16, verse 6, it says this, just talking about their journey. It says, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia. These are all different regions. But the Spirit did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. You've got to understand that the Apostle Paul had a fire burning on the inside of him. And you couldn't stop him. He was going to preach the gospel, whatever happened. He was going to preach the gospel. So off he went. He knew he was called to do that. But he was trying to go into different regions. And God actually said, no, I don't want you to go there, Paul. I don't want you to go there. So he stopped him. So he redirected him. And so he went somewhere else. He said, no, I don't want you to go there. He redirected him. And what Paul was doing, Paul knew he had to preach the gospel. He wasn't quite sure exactly where he should be. But he put himself out there. That's how we need to be. Because as we go, God will direct our steps. Are you with me? Nothing worse than a stationary boat. You can't direct it anywhere. But if the boat is beginning to move, then you can get some direction to it. And the same was true of Paul. And it says here that, verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia, that's a place, a region, stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he'd seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Why are we giving you this story? Because God had to show Paul clearly where he had to go. Once Paul could see it, he was off like a rocket. He was away. And he began to preach the gospel. They had a powerful time in Macedonia of seeing a new church form, of seeing God move, of seeing people healed, seeing people saved. And God's kingdom advanced. Why? Because God had shown him, he'd seen something of what God wanted to do. He began to speak about it, he prayed, and off he and a team of people went and established something new in Macedonia. What's God saying to you this morning about what he's called you to do? I'm not asking you to shout out loud to me this morning, but what's God speaking to you about the main thing or the main things that he's calling you to do? What do you see? What do you see? What is God showing you to do for him? And then we could also ask the question about us as a church. What is God saying to us as a church? That's partly for all of us to participate in. It's certainly for us as a leadership to declare the things that God is speaking to us, that I begin to declare the things that God is showing me about what we're to do in terms of being a church of thousands, of how we're to actually start stepping out much further, stepping out of the boat and beginning to see people added and seeing a new facility where we can meet in and seeing a place that we can use for reaching young people and seeing a place that we can begin to reach families and being effective in the community. But, you know, what's God showing us? What are we seeing? Because God wants to paint a fresh vision if we don't have one. He wants to give us a vision. He wants us to see what he sees over the church in Crawley, over the church in East Grinstead. And as he shows us those things and we step out, as we see them and declare them, God will send us and we'll begin to see the fruit of what we're going for. Does that make sense? Come with me to Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to finish on this. Isaiah chapter 6. You see, with Jesus is our greatest example. When he was here on earth, he did only the things that God the Father showed him. And he says to us in the Bible that we're to live the same way that Jesus lived. Walk the same way that Jesus walked. In other words, live your life how Jesus lived his life. And Jesus said, I only do the things that I hear. I only do the things that I see from my Father. Now that means that God wants you and me to have a relationship where we're constantly talking to God, listening to God, and he's showing us things, he's speaking to us about what he wants to do in that particular day, what he wants to do in this particular season that we're in. And as he shows us those things, we will step into them. We'll begin to declare those things. We begin to speak those things. Amen?
Amen.
Like, I know we're to. This isn't our place. This meeting here on a Sunday isn't our place. This is a temporary thing that we've been meeting on a Sunday. I know God's got somewhere else for us in Crawley, in towards the centre. And God's calling for us as a church is to be a town centre church. I know that God, that's what God's spoken to me. And I see lots and loads of young people being saved. I see lots of children being touched by the power of God. I see families, young families, being impacted with the gospel. And as a result of often the men being saved, the whole family coming through. And how the whole families are being changed. So that's part of the vision that God's stirring up in me. And how to reach these people, how to practically reach them. That's why we have this thing called, where is it now? Love Crawley. Because God loves Crawley. And so we're using anything we can to reach the people with the gospel. But we have to see what God sees. So Jesus only spoke the things that God told him to speak. This comes out of a relationship with the Lord. And I want to urge you and encourage this morning. God is good.
Amen.
And he wants you to know him. If you don't know him this morning, you can do. But if you know him and you want to know him better, which will be all of us, then press into meeting with God more. Yes. Spend time in his presence. Expect God to speak to you. Ask him to show you. Yes. Lord, what do you want me to do for you? Mm. How do you want me to advance your kingdom? Lord, show me what is my part in this church here so that we're all actively involved. No spectators in this church. All participators. All going in the same direction. Amen. All running with a cheer for Jesus, right? With him at our heads. And God wants us to be in that position where we're seeing what he sees. Amen. And I believe this morning, as we pray together, that God, as you seek God, as you continue to meet with God and pray, God is going to show you things, more things this week, even today. He's going to show you things that he wants you to see for your own life, for your own personal walk with God, for things that he wants to use you to do for him, and what you're to do in the context of us as a body, as a church. Now, he wants to show us things. He wants to reveal things to us. And once you see it, then start declaring it. I had an interesting experience before I went to Poland. I was praying about, because we had quite a lot of meetings to do while we were out there, and I didn't have a clue what I was going to do. So I did the sensible thing. I laid down before God in my cabin at the end of my garden. I laid down and said, God, you're going to have to help me here, Lord. Please inspire me, because I know you want to do some great things in Poland. I know you do. But I just need to be clear what you want to say and what you want to do. And I prayed for about 20 minutes that way, on my face, just laid down and was handing things over to God. And I heard the Lord say to me, he said, get up. Get up. And so I got up, and I felt this urgency that if I just stayed on my face, nothing was going to happen. Yeah. Because God said, it's time to get up. I've heard your prayer, now get up. So I got up, and he said, start to prophesy over Poland. And so I've got a big map on the end of my cabin wall of the world, and I began to point my finger and began to prophesy good things over Poland. And then began to prophesy over this church that we're going to. Began to declare the things that God was going to do. Yes. Began to speak out the things that God was showing me. As I was speaking, God was showing me things. Yes. Prophetic words. And so we went out on the back of that, if you like, those words that we'd spoken, and we saw God move very powerfully in that church. So the reason I say that is God wants us to see what he sees.
Right.
Begin to speak it out. Begin to declare it.
Yes.
And God wants to send us as a people now.
Yeah.
Wherever we go, we are sent people.
Amen.
Amen? We are sent people. Let's all stand to our feet, shall we? I'm going to read this in Isaiah chapter 6. Because in our meeting with God, in our coming to him and meeting with him, everything happens. Everything comes out of the presence of Jesus. That's why what we've read today, what I've told you today, is God met with all these different people, men of God and women as well. And as God met with them, he spoke to them, he showed them things that they hadn't seen before. And as they saw those things about concerning his will, they began to believe God and they began to speak those things out. And then they began to activate, if you like, what God had started in them to do his will. It says this in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. It's talking about Isaiah meeting with God. Above it stood seraphim. These were angels. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his feet, with two he covered his face, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, this is what Isaiah said, when he met God in his powerful presence, he said, "Woe is me, I'm undone, I'm nothing, because I'm a man of unclean lips." He was convicted. This was Isaiah. He was a man of God, but he felt unclean in the presence of God. And he said, "I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." God wants us this morning, some of you, he wants you to see, have a fresh glimpse of Jesus. He wants you to have a fresh glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ again, and get a fresh glimpse of who he is. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your sin is taken away, your iniquity is removed, and your sin purged.' And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Now, we're standing in the presence of the Lord today, and God is saying, "Here am I for you." What's our response to him? Because our response needs to be, "Lord, here am I, send me." And God will show you things that you need to see about your own life, about your family, about the church, about his will for you. In these next few days, God is going to turn the light on. As you spend time in his presence, what you haven't seen, you will see. And as you see those things, you begin to declare them, begin to pray them out, speak them out, and then begin to be part of the answer as you step out and doing God's will. Does this make sense? There's some amazing ministries in this church that haven't come to birth yet. There's lots of things God's going to do through many of you in this church this morning, many that aren't here. There's new things God's going to birth because he's shown you things, you see it, you speak it, and then you activate it, you live it out. Amen? Giovanni, can you just play there? Let's lift your hands to the Lord this morning. Father, we just thank you. We just praise you today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Just offer yourself up afresh to God this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just say, "Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes, Lord. And cause me to see what you see. Cause me to hear your voice. Cause me to have a vision. And to be sent by you, Lord. As I see, I will speak. I will declare the truth of what you show me. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Send me." See, this is all about people. It's all about reaching people. Everything Jesus did was all about reaching people. He loved people. Nothing was too difficult for Jesus. He was willing to spend his time with people on the street, people.